The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I'd be fine with that.
When we disagree, it'll be just like, so far, it's been just like when Barack and I did. It's in private. She'll say, I think we should do A, B, C, or D. And I'll say, I like A, don't like B and C. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
There you go. Our most popular cold open soundbite has grown into the ultimate Joe-bama montage. It's in their own words. Their plan. This is the coup. Straight from their mouths. They lay it all out there. On occasion, they can't help themselves. They just tell you exactly what they're doing. Even this brief submitted by the state of Pennsylvania in response to Mike Kelly's complaint, just how audacious and smug, almost like a dare, daring the Supreme Court. You won't dare, even if we've broken all these rules, even if we've violated our Constitution and the U.S. Constitution, you won't dare rule against us. Because if you do, we'll get to that in just a bit. We thank you for joining us on today's show. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It's certainly going right down to the wire. Last night, the Supreme Court denied Mike Kelly's request for a halt to the Pennsylvania certification process. And the court's denial was one sentence. It says the application for injunctive relief presented to Justice Alito and by him referred to the court is denied. And that's it. That's it. So there has to be a little bit more to this story. And we'll see. I'm sure we'll see real soon. It's very similar, by the way, to the court refusing to hear the Pennsylvania case before the election. That's when they just had 8 justices. And John Roberts, here again, he just said, it's denied. We're not going to take it up. So no opinion is offered. No opinion was given last night. And of course, the media, they are rejoicing for about the third or fourth or fifth time in the last month. They're declaring, it's over. It's over. Finally, it's over. Is it? Is it over? They're about to be in for a big shock, a big shockaroo. This is from the Pennsylvania defense, as I say. You see just how pretentious and smug it is. From the outset, it says, petitioners ask this court to undertake one of the most dramatic, disruptive invocations of judicial power in the history of the Republic. No court has ever issued an order nullifying a governor's certification of a presidential election result. No court has ever done that. So you can't do this. I mean, we're in uncharted waters here. You can't do something as dramatic as this. Its conclusion read this way. Finally, granting an injunction would sow chaos and confusion across the nation. Yeah, you like what we've had all through this year? Chaos and confusion all across the nation, while inflaming baseless concerns about electoral impropriety and ensnaring the judiciary in partisan strife. We've never seen that before either. Partisan strife. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she was never a partisan. The radical leftists on the court, they've never issued a ruling that's been partisan, motivated by partisan politics. It says here, the case reaches the court against the backdrop of unfounded claims which have been repeatedly rejected by state and federal courts that wrongly impugn the integrity of the democratic process and aim to cast doubt on the legitimacy of its outcome. And then it says, finally, given that context, the court should not plunge itself into a firestorm by issuing the first ever judicial order decertifying the results of a presidential election. So it doesn't really, to this point, we really haven't seen the court address the merits of the case. The only one that came closest to that was that lady judge at the lower level who said, I think in the end, Mr. Kelly's going to win on the merits. And then immediately, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court went into action and said, no way, we dismiss this without prejudice. It's not coming back here. Then it goes up to the Supreme Court. And they decide, really, what was decided last night was that they're not going to hear it right now. It's not going to receive an emergency hearing right away. That's what was determined. That's what Mike Kelly and Sean Purnell were asking for, an immediate hearing in front of the Supreme Court. That's what was denied last night. The injunctive relief was that they get an immediate hearing, and the court just said, no, it's denied. So, To be precise, the case is still pending. Now, for all intents and purposes, because of the time frame we're looking at here, that's probably the last that we hear of this particular case. But is it over? There's another case looming on the horizon, one that was filed. I talked about it briefly yesterday. One that was filed on December 7th by the state of Texas. Louisiana just joined on, and there are reports that there could be as many as 10 states joining the Texas complaint before this is said and done. One of our listeners sent me this article from a blog called The End of the American Dream. Sounds kind of depressing, but it's about the Texas lawsuit that is now on the docket at the Supreme Court, and there's a deadline for this. This particular complaint or this particular lawsuit, there's a deadline set for tomorrow afternoon. It says here at this blog, very few of the lawsuits that Trump's legal team has filed since Election Day have really worried the left. But when Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a lawsuit directly with the Supreme Court on Monday night, they immediately began freaking out. It says the reason why they are so alarmed is because they understand that this suit has the potential to flip the election. See, the Kelly suit didn't even have that potential. It had the potential to flip Pennsylvania. And I suppose if that's the first domino to fall, then other states could follow suit for other reasons, I suppose. There's all kinds of different lawsuits going on, as we know. But this one case has the potential to flip the entire presidential contest, and that's why it has some Democrats, as he said, flipping out, freaking out, I guess, flipping the election, freaking out over it. It says the suit alleges that the states of Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin conducted their elections in ways that violated the U.S. Constitution. And if the Supreme Court agrees, that would almost certainly mean that the Supreme Court would force the state legislatures of those states to appoint a new set of presidential electors in a manner that does not violate the Electors Clause of the 14th Amendment. Now, we don't know for sure if this is the avenue, if this is the pathway to the flip. My father has indicated that he feels like at some point the Supreme Court is going to have a hand in the final say here. And that's really what this blogger is suggesting. So it's an interesting take, for sure. He says here, at this hour, we are being told that Louisiana, Arkansas, Alabama, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, and South Dakota have all joined the suit that Paxton has filed. We've definitely got to get Oklahoma on board, Sam. Our biggest audience for this program, by the way, is in Oklahoma. So I hereby call upon all of our Oklahoma listeners to immediately protest in front of Governor Stitt. Who's our attorney general, Samuel? He's got to find that out. We know the governor, Governor Stitt. It would be awesome to see Oklahoma on board with this as well. But all of these states, I mean, this in itself shows just how divided. Who is it? Mike Hunter? Hopefully that's right. Yeah, there we are. Shows just how divided we are as a nation. The red states, they're going up against some of the blue states, and the Supreme Court has to deal with it. The Supreme Court has to read through. I get a little confused about when the briefs are submitted and when there's a hearing, and like this injunction relief that's denied last night, but the case is still pending. I'm just glad I'm not an attorney. In any event, they're reading through the briefs. The nine justices and the defense, they have to submit their briefs tomorrow. So it's not over. It's not over. It says here, at this hour, well, it lists off all those that are joining the case. The U.S. Constitution gives the Supreme Court original jurisdiction over controversies between states. And so this is why this case did not need to be filed in a lower court first. It's the only one that's just been filed and it goes direct to the Supremes. And so you don't have, like in this brief filed last night by the defense in Pennsylvania, they're basically saying, look, all of this has been rejected in the lower courts. Not so with this one. This one goes straight to the Supreme Court. It says here, but the Supreme Court is not obligated to hear any particular case, and many on the left initially thought that the court would never actually agree to hear it. Well, it was put on the docket just 12 hours after it was filed. And so it will be heard. And on Tuesday evening, the Supreme Court, that would be last night, the Supreme Court ordered the defending states to file their answers by Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So that's tomorrow afternoon. And then this blogger concludes here. So this is really happening. The Supreme Court will determine the fate of the 2020 election after all. Pretty interesting analysis coming from that particular blogger. Here's the attorney. He's worked for the president before, Jay Sekulow. And he's commenting yesterday on this Texas lawsuit, clip two.
This is the most significant of the cases filed, and it's the most significant because it is, as Jordan just said, completely outcome determinative. What does that mean? It means that if the court were to rule in favor of Texas, those four states, the states named in the complaint, would in fact have their state legislatures determine the outcome. They would pick the electors.
So if, as he says there, if the Supreme Court rules in Texas's favor, then all of a sudden, you've got the legislature stepping in to do their job, which really they can do of them by themselves. But they're, as we're seeing, there's not enough Republicans in those state legislatures that have backbones to actually stand up and do something about the fraud. They won't stand up to the Republican leadership in Georgia, for example. They just won't do it. There's a few. But then the pressure comes from on high, and too many of them have collapsed under that pressure. The Epic Times, it says here, the Texas lawsuit seeks a determination by the court that the four battleground states conducted the 2020 election in violation of the Constitution. Paxton is asking the court to prohibit the counting of the Electoral College votes cast by the four states. For the defendant states, that have already appointed electors. The lawsuit asked the court to direct the state legislatures to appoint new electors in line with the Constitution. And I read you some about, well, some from the brief itself just yesterday, where they're saying, look, this violates the Equal Protection Clause, the 14th Amendment. How come these states get to change all the rules and we abide by the rules? And what it ends up doing, it opens the way for fraud, obviously, but it also dilutes our votes, our say in Texas, and now in these other states that are joining it. If it's looked at, if the merits are considered, and we don't even know what the Supreme Court thinks about the merits of the Kelly case, because it just came out last night and said they denied that injunction relief. But if it ever gets down to the merits, how can someone who's fair-minded and objective at any court level, you see the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, they didn't even deal with the merits. They just focused on that obscure little rule, the Laches rule, I think it is, where it was filed too late. You should have come earlier. But if we ever get down to the merits of the case, in other words, what it actually says in the Constitution, whether it's those state constitutions like in Pennsylvania's case or just the U.S. Constitution and how that this is all tabulated in the final analysis, then it leans strongly, strongly in favor of the Trump campaign. That's why, as this blogger brings out at the very start of his post, very few lawsuits have worried the left, but when Texas stepped forward, well, that's something to be concerned about. So don't get swept along into the, it's over! Finally, it's over! Trump should just throw in the towel. He should just quit. Don't get swept up into that wishful thinking coming from the major media just yet. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what Tucker Carlson has been getting into this week respecting China and just this communist infiltration, as Herbert Armstrong talked about decades ago. And Tucker has been showing all this week, basically, just how deep those communist roots run, in especially the Democrat Party. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
Many of the very people who ranted so hysterically about Russia were, even as they were doing it, even as they were yelling about Vladimir Putin, in fact, they were doing precisely what they claimed to decry. They were working on behalf of a foreign power, our chief global rival, the government of China. The Russia hoax effectively was a diversion. It hid something that is not a hoax at all, but it is real and threatening to all of us.
That's Tucker Carlson from a segment he put to air on Monday night, December 7th, talking about the communist infiltration and also making the point that we've made here many times that the very things the radical left accuse you of, they're guilty of themselves. They're guilty of what they claim to decry, as he said there in that clip. Sam reminded me this morning of a message my father gave a year and a half ago. This was from June of 2019. He was reading through the verses in 2 Kings 14 about Jeroboam II, God raising him up to save Israel. And my father was going through the Farrar Fenton translation and just noting that, you know, this affliction is obviously, it's at home, but you also see it abroad as well. Let me just read the verses to you first. This is 2 Kings 14 and verse 26. It says, "For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." There was just nobody to help. Israel was defeated, or at least open to defeat from abroad. That's what was happening in the history anciently. They were miserable and forlorn, as I said the other day. Just open to enemy infiltration. And what did God do? Verse 27, it says, "And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." So they were about to be blotted out. And God intervened to save them. Now, my father said in that message a year and a half ago, he said that Antiochus, what he did within the country, what he did, the Antiochus administration from 2008 to 2016, what he did within the United States, we talk about that a great deal. And then as my father went on to say, but what about what he did in the foreign policy and going around apologizing for the mistakes of America and the terrible past that we've had? What about that? What about how he weakened the United States abroad? And then you can add to that just how many, even in the highest positions of government, have been and are still compromised. We heard all about that, or at least some people did, before the election, if you were listening to this program and a few others. For the most part, though, the media just blotted it out. The Biden crime family, totally compromised. Tony Bobulinski said as much on that interview with Tucker Carlson. They are compromised. Now, that's exactly what Tucker Carlson this week has been exposing. He talked about this video of this Chinese professor in Beijing that had been circulating around the internet. In Mandarin, I believe, but then they had the subtitles. We'll show you a few clips here in just a second. And obviously, it'll be easier to follow along if you're watching the live stream on YouTube. But if you're just listening to the audio, I'll try to give you some of what this Beijing professor had to say. But Tucker went through it in quite a lot of detail on that segment Monday night. And here he is setting up the footage that he's about to show of this Beijing professor, clip 4.
The man you're about to see speak is a professor from Beijing called Di Dongcheng. The video comes from an appearance that he made on a Chinese television show about Wall Street and international trade. Di Dongcheng works at Renmin University in Beijing. He is also, like so many in academia in China, a servant of his country's government. This video was deleted from Chinese social media soon after being uploaded, and there's a reason for that, as you'll see.
See, that's the way the radical left were. In this case, the radical Marxist left of the Chinese communist government. If it exposes them, then they just delete it. It's like George Orwell's 1984. It just goes right down the memory hole. Here's someone who got up and yet again couldn't help himself, stated the truth. stated the truth about how many top U.S. officials are compromised, have been compromised by the communist Chinese government, and then is just blotted out. The government's like, oh boy, we better get rid of this because this exposes us. It shows what we've been doing. It shows that we've been paying off American officials. So here is this Beijing professor. And again, you'll have to read along with the subtitles at the bottom of the video screen. Clip 5.
为什么以前1921年到2016年之间中美之间各种问题都能搞得定，是不是？大家发现没有，所有的危机，不管是银河号事件还是炸大使馆还是撞了飞机，所有事情全部是床头吵架床尾和，两个月之内搞定，什么原因？这儿我抛出一个可能又要是暴论了，就是因为咱们上边有人，就是我们在美国的权势核心圈啊，我们有我们的老朋友。
So here is this professor. He's talking about why he first he's asking, why can't we fix the Trump administration? There's something that we're unable to do with this particular U.S. president. Now, between 1992 and 2016, oh, it was perfect. That goes back to the start of Bill Clinton. And I can remember writing for the Trumpet magazine back in the 90s, all these books and articles that came out about how we're selling out to the Chinese. So he puts the dates on it, the brackets, 1992, the start of Clinton, to 2016, the end of Obama. And all during that time period, perfect. We solved problems together. It was like we were allies. The communist Chinese, together with the U.S. government. But as he brings out at the last part of that clip, he talks about something that might be just a little bit explosive. You know, don't worry. Don't worry, because we have people at the top. We have people at the... Who do you think the Chinese wanted to win this election? In fact, I think they helped Biden to steal it. And more of that evidence just keeps coming out. But he says, at the top of America's core inner circle of power and influence, we have our old friends. Oh, yes. Biden's been working. He's been working in government for 37 years. He's got all these mansions all over the world. You've got all of that damning evidence on Hunter's laptop. The loans for millions of dollars. The millions transferred to the Biden family. Laundered internationally and then coming into the Biden family members. Joe Biden's brother, of course, the children. There was the one case that Senate report brought out that he got the $3 million from the wife of the former mayor of Moscow. A $3 million wire transfer. This is what the press tried to blot out before the election. Here's another clip from that Beijing professor, clip 6.
现在就过去这个三十年啊，过去四十年，我们在美国的他的这个利用他权势核心圈，是不是？我前面讲过，华尔街在1970年代开始对美国他的内政外交有非常强的影响力啊，所以我们有路径依赖，是吧？但问题是，08年之后，华尔街的地位下降了，更重要的是16年之后，华尔街搞不进特朗普。 为什么？很尴尬，特朗普以前对华尔街有过一次软性违约，所以双方有矛盾啊。当然，这个细节我就不多说了，时间可能已经来不及了，是吧？那么，这个中美贸易战过程中，他们也试图帮忙啊。据我所知，美方的朋友跟我讲，这个试图帮忙，但是啊，力有不逮啊。
I should have pointed out too, Tucker. We're relying on Tucker's team here, obviously, but he's had two people come in to make sure that the translation was accurate. He's verified the authenticity of this video. So his team is saying, amid all of the fake news and the fake content you see on the internet, this is real. This is real. This is a Beijing professor talking about for 30, 40 years, we've been utilizing the core power of the United States. But then something happened in 2016. Then along comes Donald Trump, and we are unable to fix him. We're unable to fix him. Now, in his segment Monday, Tucker goes through examples like this Harvard chemistry professor, the chairman, I believe, of the Harvard chemistry department. Earlier this year, he was arrested for taking $50,000 a month from the communist Chinese government. They were paying him off, and he was sending them secrets in return. And like Tucker brought out in his segment Monday, people in the United States media, they just yawned at this. It's no big deal. And then they covered up the Hunter laptop. It's no big deal. This week, of course, we heard yesterday, Eric Swalwell, I'll get to that in a second, he's fully exposed as compromised. And that story will probably, it started yesterday and it probably ends today. They do not care. A lot of them, as Tucker brings out, they're compromised themselves. Jeff Bezos, he mentioned, he owns the Washington Post and Amazon, obviously, and, well, China's one of his biggest markets. So you think the Washington Post is going to be exposing these spies, these people who are compromised, even in some of the top positions of government? Here is a Beijing professor. He's a loyal communist. He's a loyal supporter of the government in Beijing. And he says, yeah, we've got people right at the very top of the American government. Right at the very top. One last clip from this professor, clip 7.
但现在呢，现在我们看到拜登上台了。传统的精英、政治精英啊，这个建制派，他们跟华尔街的关系是非常密切的。所以大家看到吧，拜登的儿子。 被特朗普说你在全球有什么基金公司，发现没有？谁帮他建的基金公司啊？明白吗？这里边都有买卖啊。那么，所以这个时候啊，这个。That's
him talking about what President Trump has said about the Hunter Biden laptop and this foundation, this global foundation that they set up. And there's the Beijing professor saying, well, who helped him? He does have this global foundation. Who helped him? Well, we did. Of course we did. He said, there are a lot of deals in all these. Then so, at such a time, we use an appropriate way to express some goodwill. You see, quid pro quo. You get your money, and then we get this in return. How many treasonous agents are there working in Washington? Yesterday, we learned a lot about the latest scandal that will be, no doubt, blotted out. In fact, it came via Axios. That's not a conservative publication by any means. But here they expose all of these communist connections. And according to Axios, the investigation has gone on for more than a year, which you read that today and you think, wow, this is very serious. I mean, they had two reporters on this. They were investigating it for a year. And then note the timing. Note the timing of the expose. Well, it's a month after the election. There's no way you're going to hear about this in October. And the only reason we heard about the Hunter laptop is because of the whistleblowers. Had Axios been investigating that too, if they would have exposed it at all, it would have surely come after the election. So here comes this expose talking about all these connections, these high profile, particularly in the state of California, which is it's as radical and as leftist as you can get. It says here, this is the Axios exclusive, suspected Chinese spy targeted California politicians. This is from yesterday. It says a suspected Chinese intelligence operative developed extensive ties with local and national politicians, including a U.S. congressman, in what U.S. officials believe was a political intelligence operation run by China's main civilian spy agency between 2011 and 2015. Now, you go back to the point Tucker made at the beginning of his segment. They spent years trying to find exactly this, except with Russia. They spent years trying to find these kinds of connections between Donald Trump and his family and his campaign and his presidency and anyone in Russia, and they couldn't find it. Just imagine if the storyline was reversed and it was instead Trump and the Republicans and the Russians. As it is, you have this Chinese intelligence operation and spies actually infiltrating their way into Democrat campaigns, even as high up as a Democrat congressman. Well, you can add Dianne Feinstein to the mix as well. There was the rev, and I think this Axios piece brings that out. I think it was her driver from 2018, a Chinese spy driving her all around California. Big tech, keep in mind, they're in Northern California. San Francisco's got a huge Chinese population. It's a hotbed for this kind of activity, this kind of intelligence operations. It says the woman at the center of the operation, a Chinese national named Fang Fang, or Christine Fang, she changed her name when she came to the States, targeted up-and-coming local politicians in the Bay Area and across the country who had the potential to make it big on the national stage. It says among the most significant targets of Fang's efforts was Representative Eric Swalwell. He's a Democrat from California. Now, he also happens to be a member of the House Intelligence Committee, meaning that he has seen intelligence, top secret intelligence, probably more top secret intelligence than just about anybody in Washington. And he's had relations, some say sexual, with this woman. And it went on for years. The Axios reveal says Fang took part in a fundraising activity for Swalwell's 2014 re-election campaign. And it says Fang helped place at least one intern in Swalwell's office. She's a spy, keep in mind. A spy. Axios says amid a widening counterintelligence probe, federal investigators became so alarmed by Fang's behavior and activities that around 2015, they alerted Swalwell to their concerns, giving him what is known as a defensive briefing. Notice how it was handled differently. This is what they should have done. If they were legitimately concerned that Carter Page or whoever else had been compromised, then they would have gone straight to Donald Trump and given him a defensive briefing. As it was, there was no defensive briefing. They just started spying. John Brennan the other day, by the way, said that we didn't spy on him. You think they're going to ever accept the results of this election when it's flipped? It doesn't matter how much evidence comes forward. These people will stand up and look right into the camera and lie to your face. Even after all of the evidence, mountains of it, has been uncovered. Here they are, guilty of the very thing they're accusing or have accused the Trump campaign of for years. So they were nice enough, the people at the FBI and the DOJ, to go over to Swalwell and say, I think this woman might be a spy. And then that was it, I guess. I guess they just left Swalwell alone. We now know about this because of Axios, a year-long investigation, and the reveal timed perfectly a month after the election. Hunter Biden's laptop, covered up. Can't even get into it. There's no evidence. And then they say that, too, about the election fraud. Listen to Tucker Carlson's take on the Eric Swalwell scandal. This is just from last night, I believe, clip 9.
A Chinese intelligence agent called Feng Feng, or she renamed herself when she came to this country, Christine Feng, became a force within the Democratic Party of California. Along the way, she cultivated a number of Democratic office holders. Feng had sexual relationships with at least two of them, identified in the Axios story as mayors from Midwestern cities. Feng also began a relationship with a man called Eric Swalwell. You may recognize that name. Eric Swalwell is a member of the United States Congress. Swalwell sits on the House Intelligence Committee. He is privy to this country's most closely held secrets. Feng's relationship with Swalwell began in 2012. Like so many Chinese spies, Feng used college as her cover. She enrolled as a student at a university in the Bay Area, and she immediately joined a number of left-wing identity politics organizations on campus. From there, she quite naturally began raising money for Democratic candidates. U.S. intelligence officials believe that Feng had a sexual relationship with Eric Swalwell. We asked Swalwell's office about that directly today. His staff replied by saying they couldn't comment on whether or not Swalwell had a sexual relationship with Feng because that information might be, quote, classified.
He can't comment on an intimate relationship because that's classified. That's astounding. What if Donald Trump Jr. or George Papadopoulos or Carter Page or any of them, what if they were in bed literally with a Russian spy? You think maybe the media would have yawned about that? They were looking and looking and looking for years. They couldn't find anything. A total hoax. A total fraud. And lo and behold, look at what we're now finding out. Just now, by the way. They had the big defensive briefing back in 2015, but nobody at the DOJ is going to leak that. Nobody's going to leak that in 2015. Well, that could have made a prominent Democrat, look bad. It could have made Barack Obama look bad. No leakers there. But boy, from 2017, well, before that, 2016 to 2020, it has been a nonstop leak. It's like the pipe that burst on election night in Atlanta. Except that didn't happen. It's been a flood of leaks from the DOJ, the FBI, everyone in the intelligence community. And they never did find anything. But here you go. How many top politicians are on the take? Here's Don Jr. He's also, I believe this was on Tucker's show. Listen to him comment on the Swalwell scandal, clip 8.
I find it very ironic that he was perhaps sleeping with a Chinese spy, but certainly that one had infiltrated his inner circle. And we shouldn't be surprised about the media being silent on this issue, which is truly a national security threat, while this man sits on the House Intelligence Committee. But we also shouldn't be surprised that someone who basically may have soiled himself on national TV also allowed his agency and his group to be infiltrated by a Chinese spy. So thank you for calling out Swalwell as well.
That's Don Jr. last night again. What if the tables were reversed? You know how it'd be handled. This Axios piece goes and talks about some of the other things that have happened or the other ways that this spy network infiltrated into California politics. It says here, the Bay Area offers ideal conditions for a foreign intelligence operative aiming to identify and target ambitious local politicians with national aspirations. The big picture, some of America's most powerful politicians got their start in Bay Area politics, and China recognizes California's importance. It says the MSS has a unit dedicated solely to political intelligence and influence operations in California. See, California, Kamala Harris, by the way, came out of Northern California too. Adam Schiff, somewhere in California. You got Feinstein, you've got Pelosi, Swalwell. Silicon Valley is the world's most important center for technology industry, it says, making it a hotbed for Chinese economic espionage. This is something my father's talked about a lot on the Key of David program. It says here, California's economy is the largest of all the U.S. states, giving California state lawmakers significant influence over national trends. And then it makes this point. Democrats dominate the Bay Area. They dominate. They dominate the whole state. Now, why is it that the Chinese would focus in on Democrats or this hotbed, the Bay Area, or the Biden crime family? And then Trump comes along in 2016, and as you heard just from that Beijing professor, we couldn't fix him. We couldn't handle him. And now we can't solve problems together like we used to when America would surrender to the Chinese, when America would surrender to Chinese foreign policy. It went on for 30-some years. Don't take my word for it. Take the good communist in Beijing giving a speech right out in front of this large throng of people, this large crowd. And then, of course, the video is quickly deleted in the Chinese communist government, hoping, I'm sure, that it would never, ever see the light of day. And it probably wouldn't have were it not for Tucker Carlson. Who else is covering it? Who else is going to run with the Swalwell scandal? Even Axios, they probably half apologized before they released the results of their year-long investigation. They're not going to tell you October 28th, that's for sure. Democrats dominate the Bay Area, from mayors to its numerous U.S. congressional districts, and anyone seeking proximity to power needs to be in their political circles. Yeah, and what does the U.S. government do about this? All of this spying, all of this treason, and so much of what's happened with the election. It's treasonous. And no one, as my father has written, no one gets punished. They don't get punished. I should have gotten the sound bites. Richard told me about my father's show from 2018, The Times of the Gentiles. I don't have the exact date, but you can run a search on our website. And here's what my father had to say. This is just a couple years ago. He said, surely if we stop and think about this, with China doing all that and making all these deals and paying all that money, he went through some examples from Peter Schweizer's book. It's all out there. I mean, the evidence is all around us. It's just like all the evidence of voter fraud. But if no one pays attention, President Trump made this point a few weeks ago. You have all of this scandalous, treasonous activity, but if no one pays attention to it, well, I guess it doesn't really exist. It's like the tree falling in the forest and no one's around. Did it really happen? Did you really hear it? No one's looking. No one's watching. It's all being carefully and methodically blotted out and erased. This is the kind of thing that would have brought on the death penalty generations ago. Not so today. Look at what people get away with. And then they're still in the House Intelligence Committee. I believe Feinstein chaired one of those kinds of committees. And here they have access to all of this top secret information. And they're in bed with the Chinese, in some cases, literally. I mean, this is stunning that nothing happens and that no one seems to care about it. My father says, what's their ambition? What's their goal? And keep in mind what Mr. Armstrong said all of those years about overtime, here's what they want to do. And eventually it's to bring down the system, to tear it all down. And as a backdrop to all of this, you've got Joe Biden admitting the voter fraud and Barack Obama saying, I have thought about a third term, just running it from my pajamas in the basement. Someone had a little earpiece and I could kind of coach them and tell them what to do. Says the retired politician, quote unquote, who lives just down the street from the White House. How convenient. What's their ambition? What's their goal, their aim here? My father said, surely we must see a strong motivation there to, well, take over the world, to conquer the world. And some of the Chinese leaders will even tell you that. That's basically what this Beijing professor said. This is a program my father gave 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. The Beijing professor, yeah, we've got quite a lot of them at the top. Yeah, we're controlling them. We bought them off. How easy it. They must be sitting there in Beijing saying, you know how easy it is to pay off these Democrats? Yes, send them $50,000 a month and they will do anything. You think they're loyal? You think they're really loyal to the Constitution when they swear by it? So many of them are corrupt. Look at what's happening in Georgia, as I've covered over the last couple of weeks. There's a lot in Georgia that is just absolutely rotten to the core. You know it. You know that it is. And more is going to be exposed as we go forward. He says here, The Chinese leaders will even tell you that. So add to that, this is my father from his program, add to that that China is allied with Russia, also a nuclear superpower, and what does it mean if some of our politicians soften down the criticism of either one of those nations? I mean, he's just talking about if you kind of soften the criticism of China, but it's a lot worse than that. And he says here, I mean, surely that has to be an abominable thing to do, because look what their goal is and what their ambition is. They want to take over the world. They want to ruin the United States. They want to be the top dog in the world. They want to have the best economy. They want to have all of the best technology. That's why they steal it all. It says, if that's true, it's something that is really terrible. A terrible accusation against somebody in our own nation, some of its leaders. But instead of softening the view when we see what's going on in Russia and China, we ought to be so horrified we'll do anything to help raise the alarm and let the world see what is coming. We should do anything to sound the alarm. But only a few are willing to do that. Only a few will speak out. Most, if they stumble onto the truth, they pick themselves up and quickly dust off and move on. Here's one last clip from Tucker's show on, again, the fact that they're guilty of the very things they're accusing others of. This is clip 11.
I mean, the analogies to the claims they made about Russia are bewildering. Almost everything they claimed this administration did with Russians, contact with Russian intelligence agents, compromise by the Russian government, none of it was true. All of it applies to what they've been doing. Have you noticed this?
We certainly have. All of it has applied to what they are doing. When we come back after a short break, we'll conclude with a couple of emails. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. Studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
A few emails here. This one here from Northern Ireland. My husband and I watch Trumpet Daily every day. We're now addicted. We're watching with excited anticipation to see what unfolds in the coming days and weeks in America. It's quite astounding to see what has already been revealed and how much more is yet to be uncovered. It'll be interesting to see how far up the Democrat political ladder this fraud goes. Every time you play that clip, or should I say blip, of Joe Biden admitting the fraud association, my husband and I laugh out loud. How unbelievable that the truth is being spoken out loud for all to hear, and yet the media still ignores these gaffes. But maybe not for much longer. It says, I tell everyone that Donald Trump will remain as president. He may be standing virtually alone, but like the Trumpet Daily, he has a small core of very skilled and strong people around him. Another one here says, I love listening to this show. It has all the truth of the Bible prophecy, knowledge, and some mixed in humor. How about that? Sam writes all my jokes. Thank you, Sam. This one here says, you all do such a great job of finding and reporting the truth of what is going on in the U.S. election fraud. This is tomorrow's news today, confirmed over and over on a daily basis. Thank you for your diligence. Another one here writes, a bold program and sorely needed. Thank you. Another one here says, Mr. Fleury, thank you for your honest reporting of the voting scam against President Trump. I listen to your videos every day. The Lord will work things out. We must stay focused on the eternal, even though the U.S. has serious voting problems. A few short ones here to wrap up. Keep up the good work. You're my lifeline to the truth. Nice to hear some honest reporting. Another one writes, love to hear this program. And then finally, thank you, Mr. Fleury, for showing the truth. You guys are awesome. Good one to end on there for today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.